Good evening and welcome to Sportletics, where sports and politics mix and mingle. I'm Stacey Johnson. Joining me tonight is Aguna, the voice of reason, Keith, the constitutional conservative, and Stephen, the independent thinker. Everyone is running late today. I don't know what in the world is going on, but the show must go on. Of a government shutdown with no end in sight. Stephen, with NASCAR playoffs and no Kings protests. No Kings. They're referring to President Donald Trump as protesters came every city almost in the country to protest no Kings in the United States. The NFL, we'll see how your team did this week, and the country of Turkey and its President Erdogan is negotiating on the behalf of U.S., trying to convince Hamas to accept President Trump's Gaza deal. Massachusetts Governor Healey dismisses Trump's threats to move the World Cup as political theater, and Arizona is suing U.S. Congress over Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's refusal to swear in Democrats' newest congresswoman. Iran rejects Trump's offer for a fresh peace talk. And President Trump is seeking a $230 million award from the Department of Justice and the FBI for what he says was being having his privacy infringed upon during that investigation last year. That and more, if we can fit it in. First up, Stephen, with NASCAR playoffs, I've got a video for you today, Stephen. But let me share the screen and play a little clip. I hope I have the right clip. Because you know how you said last time I had the wrong clip, right?
Yeah, that's not hard to do. So many races.
Chase Elliott. Is that right?
Did he win the race?
It says no. He almost like had a crash or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was Briscoe that won.
To affect multiple cars and teams and a playoff driver in Chase Elliott. So AJ's in that 16. Gregson's up above him. And it was Jones into Gregson, Armendinger, and there's more contact to come.
On board with Chase Elliott. Every playoff driver's fear right there. You're in line doing nothing wrong. The wreck happens and you're in the middle of the storm.
And he got really good information from his spotter. He lifted. You could hear him lift. The spotter saw that. He lifted, doing everything he could, but everybody trying to avoid this, they just collect behind it. That's how quickly things change here. Hope AJ's okay. Watch these wrecks. We forget how big of an impact they are. And trust me from experience, and Dale Jarrett will verify it. It is painful experience.
All right, Stephen.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying last. Oh, excuse me.
Was that the one?
Yeah, that's right. That's Talladega. And I was saying last week, if you want to watch a race, that's absolutely crazy. And
today,
it's so crazy.
A fan favorite, the one the drivers are all worried about.
All right, go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, it's no problem. It's so crazy that they put this in the last, you know, part of the playoffs, because it totally shakes everything up. You saw Chase Elliott had a bad accident, not his fault. It's not because he's not a good driver. He doesn't deserve to win the championship. It's just because this race is like a pinball machine. And I hope everybody's going to be okay. There's trouble wrecks, but I told you last week, you have to see this race. You have to watch Talladega. I know it comes on, which I don't understand. It nothing we can do about it. But it comes on Sunday early in the afternoon when there's 7,000 NFL games on and NFL rules. Nobody can take away NFL. So this is the playoffs. I don't even know how much spectacles they get on their race, but it's worth it. If you can tape it, or maybe they can do it on a Monday. No, you can't do it Monday. I don't know. Maybe do it on a Friday. I don't know. Because Saturday's got college games that are so good. I don't know what NASCAR is going to do, but it's not really good for them. But people are really missing out. So if you can go back and you can watch the race, it's an excellent race. It had probably 21 different leaders by the first half or something. I don't even remember exactly, so don't hold me to it. But it was a great race. It was awesome. And this is what everything that NASCAR is about. And another thing is people got that one guy you just saw got hurt. But he didn't die. And this is what they've been making NASCAR so much more safer than it was before, because you know periodically, every now and then you turn around and somebody would die. So it's good. There's a lot more safety, and the racing is still really great. And if you do get a chance, watch it. We have two more races this year. The 35th race is going to be Martinsville. The 36th is going to be Phoenix, and it's going to be over. Who's going to win? I'm not real sure. It's about maybe three or four guys that are always on the top: Blaney, Elliott, Larson, whatever. They're up there. They can all win it. So I know I don't have a particular favorite right now, because the people that I root for didn't make the playoffs. Which, as I said before, I want to go back to the system where we don't have playoffs. We just have a champion at the end, and everything accumulates towards a champion. And winning means so much more than what this championship does. So if you win during how it used to be back in the past that we like, then it meant so much more. You have get so much more reward for that. Winning should come with so much more of a reward. That's what we're saying. So it's good. It's fine. It's cool. It's still racing. It's still awesome. It's still exciting. I want them to get back to the old way, but if they don't, they're not going to lose me. If they're going to stay with this system, it's still cool. Racing's racing, and hopefully everybody gets a chance to see it. And that's all I have, Stacey.
Okay, hey, thank you. And I sent you, Keith, the wrong link. That was my fault to get on. I sent you the wrong link, and if Todd was here, he would say I did that on purpose, but I did not. Just made a mistake. I sent
you the wrong link.
Sorry.
I knew you were doing sports, so.
Yeah,
so you it's all care. Good. So let me also share my other screen. We're going to talk about the Commanders. So I'm sharing my screen. Can you see this? The Washington Commanders played the Cowgirls. And what was that score, Stephen?
44-22, Cowgirls.
Cowgirls.
What happened?
What happened was, as we say at the beginning of every year, we all have a good chance. Everybody has a fighting chance. And everybody has a good enough team to compete. If they have no what, Stacey? What is what can kill a team? Do you know? I think you're on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Defense, special teams.
No, what can kill a team during the year? What's the only thing that can really kill a team?
You tell me.
Injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've had our quarterback go out a couple times, went out again during this game. We had Austin Eckler early in the year. He went out. He was a running back. We have our scary Terry McLaurin. He hasn't played at all. He's our number one wide receiver, and they call him Scary Terry for a reason. And Deebo Samuels, who's one of the best players in football, one of my most favorite players in the NFL, he's injured, so he didn't play either. So if we don't have our top two receivers, we're missing a running back, a bunch of defensive guys on the team are gone, you can't expect us to beat anybody. I was playing cornerback for the second half of the game, but I put somebody else's name on my back because I didn't want to bring the spotlight to me. That's how bad the situation in Washington is right now. So, Stacey, if you lose A.J. Brown, if you lose Jalen Hurts, if you lose different players in your defense, if you lose your kicker, if you lose Barkley, if you lose these people, Stacey, do you think you're going to beat the Cowboys? Oh, no. So I'm not ashamed or sad or upset that the team lost, because you cannot win if half your team is in the hospital. And that's what happened to the Washington Commoters. That's what happened this year. The year is over. That's fine. Dallas looks good. The Eagles look good. The Giants look good. And it's very competitive. But we're going to probably finish last. Not because we have incompetent coaches or ownership now, because everything's going our way. But the only thing we start out at the beginning of the year, as I said, this team's going to be a great team if they can stay healthy. And this team did not stay healthy, and it can affect any team. And it's affected them. And it's a shame, because it is fun when we can all be competitive, but you cannot be competitive with people who are playing that we don't even know their name. There's wide receivers I never heard of. So that's what happened to us this year, and it's all good. More power. I want to see the Eagles do well. My son has Jalen Hurts, so his quarterback and his fantasy team. So there's no hate nowhere at all. But it's much more fun when the Redskins can be relevant, and it's just not. It's just not.
So. Right. Well, I appreciate you being that honest and straightforward about the state your team is in, because, you know, that's hard to do. But let me share my screen and play this, and let's see what happened.
Get it for the fourth time. Prescott, a lot of time, airs it out deep down the field. CeeDee Lamb breaks the tackle. No one home. Touchdown, Dallas. Watch how early he gets him, too. It's just a two-high defense. He's got to go here. He's here. That entire middle of the field's open. CeeDee throws his hand up like, that gets me. Yeah, it's nothing special. He's just running through the middle of the defense. He sees it. When that arm goes up, he's telling Dak, throw me that rock. And then he gets it a little bit late because Dak saw it a little bit late. But then with the collision, again, it's solid offense. To me, it's bad defense. Mm.
Sorry about that, but
That's good. See, that was me. I was playing cornerback on that, and that's why CeeDee Lamb got the touchdown. I mean, I got some good speed for my age, but I can't keep up with CD. That's the best way I could do. That's the best we could do.
Hey, Steven, how did those guys end up colliding? The guys in the red, how did they end up colliding, crashing together like that? You know, the defensive ends.
They ended up colliding because they're not up, because they're not the ones that play on defense. They're the ones that they had to bring up from the practice squad to come up to play. They haven't been in sync. They're not at the level they need to be, but they just need bodies in there to take the positions that the other people have left because they had injuries. So that's why you're going to have guys running each other, and they don't understand what's going on because they're not ready yet. This is we have receivers out there that are not ready yet. So that's what's happening. You know, when you have too many injuries on your team, you can't do nothing. It's over. It's over, Johnny. Smoke them if you got them. It's all good. We'll be there next year. We have a great quarterback. You know, it's okay. It's okay. No, I don't.
I'm going to wait for Aguna to talk about the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to wait for Aguna to talk about them. So I'll move on and share my screen, and we'll look at a little bit of Game 7 highlights for the Major League Baseball. Here we go.
And a high drive to left center field. Lucas on the run. That ball's gone. Julio Rodriguez, in the biggest game of his life, is delivering. Second time that he's homered against Bieber in this series. Barton fires. Cal hits a high fly ball, deep right field. It is gone! Raleigh joins Rodriguez, delivering in Game 7.
Yes, it does. It's supposed to be away, and it just cuts in, and that is that perfect stroke, launching home runs all year. The 1-0 pitch.
High fly ball, left field, Arozarena watches it go! Oh my God, says Ernie Clement. The payoff. It is Super Bowl! And for the first time in 32 years, the Blue Jays have won the pennant!
All right. Good for the Toronto Blue Jays. They are going to the World Series. Let me see. Does anybody know, since the Phillies aren't in it? I don't really care.
Well, I wanted Seattle to win, and America, and I wanted Seattle, and I thought they were going to win, but ain't nobody going to touch LA. They have already won it. Give it. Don't even play the games. It might end up in four games. It might be a sweep. It's already done. See,
I don't know about that. I think we should put a little friendly wager on it. I want to show you this. If you can see the postseason Major League Baseball, and you see this is from MajorLeagueBaseball.com. You see it's the Toronto Blue Jays versus the LA Dodgers. First time the Blue Jays have been there in 32 years. Sometimes when teams have momentum, sometimes when it's the first time they're there, they just have this wave that kind of takes them right on over the threshold. And that may happen against LA, no matter, who LA has playing.
No, and that's cool. And I'll pull for them to win, but I just don't think they have anything for this juggernaut in LA. And Keith is happy too, because he's in LA and he wants LA to win. And that's the way it's probably going to go. It's probably going to be a sweep. Maybe they can win one game.
It's going to be a sweep.
Maybe they can win one game. Okay, they can win one or two games, maybe.
But
they don't have nothing for LA.
What do you want to do? 4 and you want to do 4-0 for LA against the Blue Jays? 4-1. What do you want to do?
Oh no, sweep is hard. It's hard to sweep. It might be. A couple games they could win, but LA's going to end up winning. That's all it is. LA's going to end up winning. It's already done. They have the best player in baseball. They probably have one of the best players that's ever played baseball, Ohtani, and he can do everything. So
yeah, well, one man, Ohtani is one man. He can't win the World Series for a team. If he could, they wouldn't have any other players.
Oh no, but the rest of his players are very complimentary to him. I mean, that's, right. They don't have any slouches there. It's a good team.
Right. It's a very good team. But
that's a very good team. But he's the best player. Like when you have the best player in a particular sport and they're going to the World Series or Super Bowl or whatever, you got the best player, you have a better chance of winning.
Okay. Well, I think when a team like this is on a roll, they've got the wind behind their back. They haven't done this in 32 years. It's just something special about it. I don't have a dog in the fight. The Phillies aren't in, so I really don't care. But I just think that the Blue Jays are going to win it all.
Yeah, I agree. It would be great.
Stacy, you mind if I ask you guys? I want to ask you and Steven this question, if you don't mind. Even though we're not on politics yet, it's just only because of the content. You're talking about Ohtani. I mean, the Japanese fella. How did they arrange, or how is he able to play being a foreigner?
What do you mean?
I mean, is he legal? Is he legal or what? I mean, I'm just asking. I'm just curious. I really don't know.
Hey, maybe when they play the first game, they ought to call ICE and take him off the field.
Yeah, Keith, I think you ought to go down there with ICE because you're already in LA. Go down with ICE and ask about his status, and then they'll do what Todd says. They'll arrest you. They'll arrest a black man with ICE and put you under the
jail. Yeah, that's funny, man.
I was really curious. I really don't know. I mean, only because of the way things are right now. With ICE, they're strapping down. Boy, they're serious. And this guy over here, is it because I guess he's a winner, I don't know. He's special. He makes a lot of money. So I don't know.
No, there's a lot of foreigners in baseball, But the thing about Ohtani is he was gambling on baseball. They caught him gambling. And then they made this story up that his interpreter was doing the gambling for him. And that was BS. But you know what? They didn't kick him out of baseball because you know why? He is the best baseball player to ever live.
He's not the best. He's probably
in the top five. He's in the top five so far.
or Babe Ruth.
Right, but he's in the top five so far. So what that does is that's so much greatness for the sport. That's why they had to keep him in. See, who was it? Pete Rose. They kicked him out because gambling. But he gambled on his own team to win. Itani gambled on his team to lose. That's a different thing. But wow. but Pete Rose was out of baseball. He was one of the best players ever. But he was done. He was retired, and they wouldn't let him in because they found he cheated. But Otani cheated. They let him stay in because he's relevant to baseball right now, and Pete Rose wasn't.
So if you look at Otani, it says
it's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It says Otani is a Japanese citizen who requires a visa to play in the United States. He currently holds a P1A visa. A non-immigrant visa for internationally recognized athletes, which allows him to play in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And he also has the option to apply for an EB1A green card for permanent residency because his extraordinary ability in baseball qualifies him.
Okay. All right. Well, that's privilege. There you go.
And yeah, I don't understand how an ability in a sport can grant you something more than somebody else has ability in carpentry or something. You know, I don't know. I can play a sport. I can hit a ball and I can throw a ball. So I should be getting special privileges. It's so weird the way we prioritize stuff in this world.
All
but
right.
We didn't.
So I'm going to play this about the World Cup.
Is doing a bad job, and if I feel there's unsafe conditions, I would call Johnny, the head of FIFA, who's phenomenal. Let's move it to another location. And he would do that. He wouldn't love to do it, but he'd do it. Very easily he'd do it. And this is the right time to do it. If I thought Boston was doing something that was going to be cause safety conditions for the World Cup, I could say the same thing for the Olympics, because, you know, we have events that are in different locations for the Olympics. It's based in L.A. If I thought L.A. was not going to be prepared properly, I would move it to another location. If somebody is doing a bad job.
Okay, so how do you feel, Keith, about the president saying that he would, if he felt cities were unsafe, he would ask the head of those sports where the cities are going to, where the sports are going to play in, to move the sport or the game to another city? First off, how could he could do it, but the other city may not be prepared or have the money. Is he going to provide the money for that moving? Keith?
Well, I mean, did he mean that he's going to, he meant permanently or just while the crime is, I mean,
no,
you know,
he was he was talking about moving the World Cup or the Olympics. So those weren't permanent. Movements, those are movements for a specific date and time for that specific sport.
Yeah. Okay, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, L.A., we're supposed to have it here in L.A. in 28, but it doesn't look, I mean, the city doesn't look at all like it can handle it. I mean, I'm talking about we've got
Stephen, my question to you would be then, how could he afford to move it to another city? He's asking another city to take it on and be prepared for it and not necessarily have the funds.
He can't, and it's ridiculous. And I think it's a hollow threat, but it's continuing a theme of cities are dangerous and we're going to make sure that people are safe. And that's cool. I love everybody to be safe, but it's a ridiculous thing for him to do because like you say, Stacey, everything's already set in place. And, you know, we've had dangerous cities. They had things in Oakland. They've had things in whatever city, Chicago, whatever city that you can consider dangerous. But it's a theme that he's involved in right now. And that's cool. It's a political thing. That's cool. But as far as I'm concerned, they don't have to have soccer anywhere. It's not my favorite sport. It's probably my least favorite sport. But I understand it's fun for a lot of people, but it's cool. I don't watch sports, but no, he can't do anything about that. It's just he's just spitting in the wind is all he's doing at that point. It's a political thing he's doing, and that's cool. But no, they're not going to change it, and LA will handle whatever comes that way. Even if he has to get the National Guard, the Marines, the Coast Guard, everybody else, it's going to be safe, and everybody's going to be cool, and the Olympics will be cool in LA.
All right.
Keith doesn't want it there because he doesn't want the traffic to be so bad.
Let me move on to some new news. Listen to this.
This morning elected the country's first female prime minister. 64-year-old conservative Sanae Takaichi is known as Japan's Iron Lady. Takaichi secured a majority in both the lower and upper houses of parliament, ending 3 months of political uncertainty. CBS News foreign correspondent Anna Corrin is following this for us and joins us from Hong Kong with more. Good morning, Anna. So tell us about Takaichi and how she's expected to lead now.
Well, Takaichi, she shattered the glass ceiling in Japan, Errol, after winning that parliamentary vote today in what had become a rather drawn-out process. Now, what got across the line was that her ruling Liberal Democratic Party formed a new coalition with Japan Innovation Party. As you say, she's 64 years old, a conservative nationalist. She's a protege of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who, as you may remember, was assassinated in 2022. She is expected to lead Japan to the right. Now, she's already selected her cabinet and has appointed a woman to be her finance minister, another first for Japanese politics. What we are witnessing, really, is a major shift in the political landscape in what has always been a very male-dominated society. The Prime Minister, Errol, comes from humble beginnings, unlike many other political elite in Japan. An interesting fact about her, she was a heavy metal drummer, rode a motorbike in her youth, and I believe that Iron Maiden is one of her favourite bands. Margaret Thatcher, Britain's first female Prime Minister, is one of her heroes, and she has proven that perseverance pays off. She secured the leadership of her party earlier this month, and that was after her third attempt. So I think the message there is that really you must never give up.
And the heavy metal experience as well as the bike gives her a bit of edge, dare I say, like from her younger days.
Okay, I'll stop playing that. Iron Maiden rode a motorcycle. Margaret Thatcher is her hero, 64. She looks good. She looks really good for 64.
Yeah, very beautiful. Beautiful Japanese lady.
Beautiful woman. It doesn't matter, Keith, what race she's from. She's a woman who is a beautiful woman regardless of her race.
Ah, well, they're
mostly all Japanese over there in Japan, man.
Right.
We all know that. Yeah.
We don't have to point out that she's Japanese.
We don't have to point out because 99% of the people over there are Japanese.
Right. So
he wasn't trying to point nothing out, I don't think.
I don't know why he said that, but
I don't know.
Todd was
because I have an affinity towards Japanese women. They're beautiful.
Anyway, can somebody call his wife? Somebody call his wife.
Yeah. Don't call his wife.
She might be Japanese. We don't know.
She won. It's unusual. She is a female finance minister. She plans to appoint, and she leans right. So what does that mean? She broke a glass ceiling. What does that mean, Stephen, in terms of the United States?
I don't know. She's a woman, and she needs to appoint a woman, and she's going to appoint another woman and then appoint another woman. Maybe she's the right side version of DEI. I don't know. Or maybe the woman she wants to appoint is the best person for the job. I don't know. But I wish her all the best. Japan is a wonderful country. I still haven't forgiven them for Pearl Harbor, but I think we had a little bit of a hand in that as well. So I can't totally condemn them. I think we knew it was coming. So
we can't blame this generation.
So she's probably a great person. She looks like she keeps herself in shape. She looks young for age, and I hope I hope she does Japan very well. I wish her nothing but the best.
What's amazing is it is amazing because I know enough about Japanese culture that and that's another reason I made the statement I did, because Japanese culture is male dominating. You know, they're very manly, very masculine type of culture. It is, you know, because of their martial arts and, you know, their prowess, you know, and leadership is the samurai and all that sort of thing. You know, those guys, you know, they're very male dominated. And
yeah.
The best technology. So.
Well, that's why really I said, good. Is this some kind of DEI or something? Are they trying to be politically correct to bring a woman in there because they've never done it before? You know, that's all I'm saying.
I think since she was a protege of the previous prime minister who was assassinated.
Oh, yeah. They got assassinated.
Yeah, right. She probably, which is very unusual for a prime minister to be assassinated in that country. It's not a country
right
that has a lot of enemies and people are necessarily mm-hmm. after them.
How were they assassinated? Was it poison?
I bet you she's a trained martial artist. I bet you she's a
yeah. Samurai. You have to be by the time you're 5 years old in Japan.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's kind of racist to say, Stephen.
No, it's not racist to say. It's good to say because if every race was proficient in martial arts by the time they were 5 years old, then that's a damn good race. That's a great. That's not racist.
Thank you.
That's not putting anybody down. If their people are proficient, more proficient percentage wise than another race, that's not putting them down. That's raising them up. Yeah.
That's okay. What they teach in their school curriculum. That's part of their school curriculum.
Right.
Just like the Chinese.
We're here in Los Angeles.
That's what we should do here.
ABC News Live reports. Yep. Sources are now confirming to ABC News that President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay him roughly $230 million. The sources familiar with the matter are saying it would be as a settlement for investigations that he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Our ABC News Washington Bureau Managing Editor Catherine Falders has been tracking this story for us. So first of all, Catherine, what more are we learning here about this push from the president? How exactly does this all work?
So President Trump, just a little while ago, not today, but a couple weeks ago, I believe, almost said as much in the Oval Office when he was making comments about this, saying that he had sued himself, for example, meaning he was filing claims with the Department of Justice. And what he's trying to do here is he's talking about claims that he filed with DOJ in 2023 and in 2024. Those are settlement claims. So he's those aren't public. He's trying to get money from those. We're told that money was $230 million to settle these investigations, if you will, into him. And now what he's trying to, and I believe he's maybe made comments about this just moments ago. We'll have to see what he said. But what he's trying to do here is it's two pronged. It has to do with these two separate investigations, the 2016 or the investigation into Russian contacts with 2016 and the election, for example. And then, of course, the Mar-a-Lago search, the Jack Smith investigation that has to do with searching his Mar-a-Lago home. So he files these to the Justice Department. It was the Biden Justice Department at the time. Of course, now he's president. So those claims still exist. And the question is, are those settled? And if they are settled, that would be through, frankly, his former defense attorney. Is the people who would be making those decisions about giving him that money would be the people who represented him in those cases that Trump brought those claims against. So the bottom line is here that he is trying to get, at least has said privately and publicly just a little while ago, that he wants his Department of Justice to pay him at least $230 million to settle these claims about these investigations.
Okay, so a huge number here based on these two claims against him that you sort of laid out here. And as you also point out, Catherine, the president is right now taking questions. So he's in his office right now taking questions. It does sound like he might have been asked about something like this. We have our team right now going through that log, so we'll bring that to you as soon as we get it. But in terms of who approves this, Catherine, I think that might be one of the more interesting parts of this story, right? Because he has senior department officials right now that at one point were his defense lawyers, right? And these are the people that would be tasked with approving the payment of $230 million?
Yeah, I think that's the important thing here, Kana, is that literally the three people, the top three people at the Justice Department who are in charge, the Attorney General, but namely his Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, and then the number three at the Justice Department, Stanley Woodward, those are all people who represented Trump and his associates in these investigations, so specifically the Mar-a-Lago documents investigation. So that would be quite striking that the people who represented him would be the ones signing off on this. Now, what's unclear is if this pressure is from Trump directly to his Department of Justice. We know this is what Trump wants and that he's pretty much said that publicly. But we don't know if he's picking up the phone every day and calling Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and saying, get this done. But the reality is the people who would make these decisions and sign off on it are the people who represented him in the investigations that he is seeking settlement money over.
Okay, so Keith, I want to ask you, how ethical is this for the president of the United States to ask the people that work for him to give him $230 million as a settlement?
Wow. I don't even know how you find these stories, but that I've never heard anything like that or never heard of any president doing that. So I couldn't really answer that. I have no idea what the law says about that, but it doesn't, on the surface, it doesn't really look good, to be honest with you. But I don't know the details of all that. I really don't.
Stephen, when the same administration that President Trump oversees is laying off government workers, giving $20 billion to Argentina when soy.
That's not relevant to the story. But it's not relevant to the story.
Can I finish my statement?
Yeah.
Giving $20 billion to Argentina when soybean farmers need that money to stay afloat and keep their businesses open.
And he's going to buy a lot of beef from Argentina, and that's wrong too. And that's a different subject.
And now the president wants for himself while he's in office, not after he gets out, while he's in, he's going to ask the people that work for him, hey, this information is closed to the public. They don't know what's going on. Just deposit my money right into my account, 432-77543. And that's ethical, Stephen?
He was treated horribly. And he deserves to have everybody understand what he went through was wrong. And he deserves, these guys are not going to give him any money because he doesn't deserve it, because he does. He was treated horribly. You shouldn't treat anybody the way the last administration treated him. That was wrong. So he should get that money. And then when he gets that money, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give it away. Because guess what, Stacey? Guess what, everybody? He doesn't need millions of dollars. He is the most powerful person in the entire world. He doesn't need the money. What he's doing is bringing attention to what happened to him, and what happened to him was wrong. And anybody objectively can understand it was wrong. And if people got to hate somebody, they hate him, I'll never say that. But you can't be reasonable. Reasonable people can agree that what happened to Donald Trump was wrong all that time. And it's been proven wrong. So if he's going to get some money and he gives it to a charity, maybe he gives it to the Negro College Fund or whatever, the United Negro College Fund, and that's what he gives his money to. Who cares? The man doesn't need money. But to bring everything the way you did is because you want to totally destroy anything about him, but you can't. Every now and then you got to be honest, and you got to say this about him. I'll be honest about him. I'll be completely honest about Donald Trump. Ask me anything, but you got to be honest. And he was treated horribly, and he deserves the fact that everybody should know he was treated horribly. He should get something from it. And if he wants to give it to people who need it for charity or whatever, that's what he's going to do. And that's what he should do. He doesn't need the money.
Thank you.
I hope he gives it to everybody on this show. I hope we all divide that money between us all.
Now you're dreaming.
I'm just hoping in one hand and I'm hoping in the other. Because the other way didn't work for me. I got a hope in one hand and hope in the other. I can't do the act. The other way didn't work.
Steven, I know you're. I don't know if you're listening to.
What would give you is a swift kick in your. You know what?
Who's gonna? I mean, you're making stuff up. He's not giving any money away. What are you talking about? He's not going to give anything to charity.
He said he was going to give it to charity.
Where'd you get all that? You're just making it up.
He said he was going to give it to charity today. I heard him say he was going to give it to charity. He don't care.
It's not about the money. I didn't hear that.
I mean, just because you're not informed doesn't mean I'm lying.
Is there something in writing? Or you just like, it's like the tooth fairy?
No, it came out of his mouth.
At the end of the day, it is a conflict of interest. Call it what it is. He's executive branch of the government. Then he's, I don't know. And then the details are he's ordering them to have a settlement. I mean, it's like it's on both sides of it. But at the end of the day, I don't want to listen to this nonsense about he's treated horribly. Donald Trump is not a victim. I mean, we always talk about victims in this country, and you know, we want handouts, stuff like that. He's the most powerful person in the world. Stop treating him like a victim. You know, he was sitting in court.
They tried to put him in jail for 700 years.
He is not a victim.
No, he's not. No, I'm saying they treated him badly.
My president is not a victim. You're making him sound weak. He's not weak. He's not a victim.
It's called.
Okay. I asked.
It's called justice.
I asked you to stop interrupting him because no one interrupted you while you were talking.
Correct. So here's this thing. It is a conflict of interest. You got to be careful of this. Right now, you do have the House. You do have the Senate. And so if you start doing these stories, and again, American public is very, has a very short attention span, right? And so eventually, if the pendulum swings the other way and the Democrats somehow get in office and they get the House, and they're gonna go ham on all this stuff. So you want to try to keep it, you don't want to make it seem as if, and again, this is the story, this is the news media, this is a redemption tour of some kind where he's going after his enemies and things like that, because that's going to set the precedent that when a Democrat gets in there, they're going to go off and do the same thing. And we're not going to be able to say anything about it because he's doing it. He's creating the deep state he's supposed to destroy. So I don't like it. And again, I get it. I get what he's trying to do. If, in fact, he was wrong, we have a Justice Department to really adjudicate that. But if he's telling, he's putting his thumb on the scale, that's a whole different story. So I try to keep out of that and focus on the things that really matter. I mean, these are distractions. There are things that really matter that he's making headways with that, you know, I mean, this rare earth mineral deal, that's a big deal. This whole thing with China and the rare earth minerals, that's a big deal. And he's doing something that, I mean, that could set this country up in perpetuity if he makes the right deal. But we're talking about other stuff, and we should be focusing on the things that really matter.
Very good.
4 weeks after her special election, a congresswoman-elect remains in limbo, still not sworn into office. Now the Arizona Attorney General is preparing a legal challenge.
Just swear me in so I can do my job.
Congresswoman-elect Adelita Grijalva won her special election 4 weeks ago.
This is unprecedented to have a speaker obstruct the swearing in of a duly elected member of Congress this long.
Speaker Mike Johnson says the delay is because the House isn't in session. It's been recessed since September 19th, days before the special election.
In the meantime, instead of doing TikTok videos, she should be serving her constituents.
But Grijalva says she can't because she doesn't have access to her congressional budget.
The problem is I do not have access to my budget. So I cannot enter into lease agreements until I have a budget. That's just the facts.
That means no district offices. I talked with her Monday from her campaign headquarters.
She has 16 staffers. They need to be taking calls. They need to be helping their constituents.
But Grijalva says her staff can't get federal IDs or access the systems they need.
Just like anywhere else that you work, you can't tap into a private secure system with your Gmail.
Johnson has said he'll swear her in when the House gets back to work. But he said he won't do that until Democrats in the Senate pass the Republican plan to temporarily fund the government. Grijalva says the House needs to work on a compromise.
And so we need to stop playing games with the American people. Speaker Johnson needs to reopen the House.
She won the special election for her late father's seat. Now she waits, unable to provide the same services he did.
It's a staple of this community to be able to lean on a Grijalva, and I want to be able to do my job.
For ABC 15's political team, I'm Manu.
All right. Why don't they swear her in, Aguna?
Yeah, again, this is part of the theatrics, right? So, yeah, I mean, if she won the election, just swear her in. I know they're using that as part of a negotiation tactic with the shutdown. Clearly, Speaker Johnson saying that he's not going to do it until they vote on that. But I don't think they should. I don't think they should use that as leverage. They don't have to. I mean, the Republicans at this point, they set the budget. They don't want to negotiate on the issues. And then they should just base it on that. I mean, at the end of the day, she was duly elected. So let's not try to use that as kind of this negotiation tool at this point.
That's great.
Your comments on it? Do you have any comments on it? We can go forward.
Four times, Caroline Leavitt said that about four times, Stephen, they have offered the vote. The Republicans have offered to the Democrats, and the Democrats declined to vote. So they can't open the government until they solve that. So Anyway, the Republicans are trying to, but the Democrats are turning down every single negotiation.
I don't think that's true. I don't think
she's she's Congress, right? Congress?
Yes.
It's Congress ain't there. That's what it's all about. Why are we even talking about it, Stacey? The Congress ain't there. They can't do nothing right now because they're at home. What are we doing? Let's go on to the next subject, Stacey. This is ridiculous. Congress can't do it because they're not there. Now what? Let's go to the next thing. Come on, everybody. Let's go. It's ridiculous. Don't stop wasting time.
That's the topic. That's what we're supposed to be talking about.
You're not there.
Good God.
We are entering day 21 of the government shutdown. A Senate vote failed to end the government shutdown yesterday, making it now one of the longest in U.S. history.
Now, federal workers overseeing the nation's nuclear arsenal are officially furloughed. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has more.
In the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
It was the 11th time senators have failed to pass a bill to end the government shutdown, and neither side is budging.
We're not going to negotiate on anything until Democrats stop holding government funding hostage.
Our country is staring down the barrel of a healthcare catastrophe.
Yesterday, the Department of Energy pulled the plug on thousands of workers, furloughing 80% of staff overseeing the nation's nuclear stockpile. Fewer than 400 workers remain on the job.
We need to take that deathly serious. We've never had to furlough workers in this area before.
Across the country, states are warning the shutdown could freeze SNAP food benefits. In Colorado, the governor's office says some 600,000 people, half of them children, may be impacted by November 1st. Food banks are already stretched.
For every single meal a food bank provides, SNAP provides 9.
Senate Democrats are dug in with their demand to extend health care subsidies. Today, Senate Republicans will have lunch with President Trump at the White House, where smaller funding bills could be on the table to pay some federal workers like active duty military. Speaker Mike Johnson says he'd bring the House back to vote if it passes the Senate.
Yes, I don't have any faith that they're going to pass it, though. I think they're going to continue to play games.
All right. Stephen, that's outrageous. The government should be open, not having our nuclear arsenal secure with people who know exactly how to handle those materials is utterly important. Don't you think Congress needs to just compromise, because they're both sides are going to get it from this. People aren't going to take this lying down.
We need to keep the government shut down. The government needs to shut down, and it needs to get weaker and weaker, and we need to shut down for a longer amount of time. And all of the people in this country that have been divided need to come together. We all need to go to Washington, and we need to take over our government. Because what they're doing is completely evil. They are the beast. They are Satan. And they are destroying us. And we're not going to make it. We're not going to live in the next just a very few years if we don't take over this government that is controlling us. So keep government shut down. Everybody get together. Put your differences aside. Come together as one. And 300 million people go to the White House and say, we're taking over now.
Okay, thank you. So that
because
is,
wait a minute,
let me make
that clear. The government is not there for the people. They're not there for us, Stacey.
All right, let me make this clear. That's Stephen's opinion. They are not the opinions of this show, Spoilertix. That's Stephen's opinion. I don't know where Keith is, but Aguna, this shutdown doesn't help anyone.
So last I checked, the people that are in Congress were elected by the people, right? So no. I mean, we already have taken over the government. That's why we vote.
No, that's not
and
true.
And we vote for them to come together, and, like you're saying,
that they don't represent us,
and come up with solutions. Unfortunately,
they don't represent us.
You know what's happening right now. You know, because what Speaker Johnson just said is that we're not going to negotiate. They're not necessarily talking about negotiating what they want—a clean bill—and they just want to continuously fund the government. And the Republicans have done what the Democrats are doing in the past as well. They've done this brinkmanship tactic, and the Democrats have done
what the Republicans are doing now,
right? And they have, and so they said, hey, we want a clean bill to fund the government, and the Republicans had held it up for whatever reasons. We could be extensions of the Trump tax cuts, it could be a variety of different things. And what they're talking about negotiating is about continuing the health care subsidies past the December 31st deadline. And And a lot of that's going to impact the healthcare cost of people in red states. So it's kind of interesting how they're trying to stand on let's not negotiate. But when you look at the details, it's actually going to help everybody if these extensions happen, just because healthcare costs, we're going to pay for healthcare costs of people who don't have it anyway, because of the emergency room and where the insurance companies are set up. So the extension really should be a no-brainer, especially given the fact that costs are already going up anyway. Inflation's still going up. Cost of materials is going up. So if healthcare costs go up, it's going to impact everybody.
We're almost out of time. Let me ask Keith. Keith, some people in those red states are finding that their Obamacare healthcare there is going up, meaning their what do you call that when you have a
the premiums? Premium. The premiums not, are going up.
Not just, no, not the premium, but what they have to pay.
The copay.
The deductible is going up to $10,000.
Oh, deductibles. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Going up. So the longer that Congress doesn't do anything, this is going to affect the health care of those people, and they're not going to have $10,000 to pay before their health care kicks in and covers some of the costs.
Can I say something? Or is it you're asking Keith?
Say this. I live in Los Angeles. We pay high premium. We pay high everything in California, from gas to health care and everything else. What Aguna was saying is interesting because it is true. However, you've got to identify what the situation is, meaning that it is the illegal aliens that are getting a lot of benefits, the same as citizens. And that is what they were refusing.
They get that anyway.
So, yes, okay. So that's what they're refusing to negotiate in this situation, because Obamacare.
That's not true. I mean, what are the illegal aliens getting?
Hold on. Let me finish. I didn't interrupt you. Okay, I'll just say that that is what's going on. Now, Guna doesn't agree. Okay, fine. But it's true.
No, it's not that I don't agree. I just want you to explain what are the illegal immigrants getting.
Well, what do you mean? Illegal aliens?
What are they getting? They're no, what are they getting by extending the universal health care? What are they getting?
I'm going to let Stephen go into the details of that, because you're not going to
listen. Because you don't know. But, just answer the question.
No, it's they're getting everything.
What are they getting?
Everything that you and I get. That's as simple as that.
So by extending the subsideies for people that sign up for universal health care, illegal aliens are getting those subsidies? That's what you're saying?
They have also been offered, I said it once before, I'll say it again, four times.
Just answer the question, Keith. Are the illegal immigrants getting the subsidies?
To open up the government. So they have already neglected it. Democrats will not negotiate on the Republican side. So Republicans don't want
to. They want to extend the subsidies. Are the illegal immigrants getting the subsidies? That's all I want to know.
Yes, yes.
How are they getting the subsidies? They got to sign up for them?
No, yeah, they get it automatically when they come into the
country. No, they don't get it automatically.
Yes, they do.
So you mean to tell me that based on the current healthcare system, illegal immigrants can go in there and sign up for universal healthcare?
Yes, in California.
And so if they sign up for it, that means they pay for it.
Yes, they have to pay for it.
No, they're not paying.
Is that what that means? You just don't want them to have it, even if they pay for it?
He's not going to listen. Stephen,
I'm listening to you. We're having a conversation. So you don't want them to have it even if they pay for it.
We can have a
conversation. Even though they're not getting it.
If we're both denying that, you know.
Okay, we're out of time.
No, but so let me ask you this. If you were saying if an illegal immigrant was willing to pay for universal health care, you don't want them to have access to it.
They don't pay for it. I'm telling you that. I know that.
But how do they sign up? So you're saying they just, so what the Democrats are proposing, you're saying, which they have denied this, by the way, that you're saying that they're just going to give the subsidy to illegal immigrants for free. But now a subsidy, you still have to pay for. They're extending, they're just making sure that the premiums or the subsidy doesn't go up.
No.
So it's something that has to be paid for.
It's called.
That was actually debunked. Now, I would ask you this. Because we're paying for it anyway. If an illegal immigrant gets hurt and goes to the emergency room, you're paying for that.
Not in California.
So if an illegal immigrant goes to emergency room, they get denied access in California?
Administration.
No, they don't.
No Kings movement, as they call themselves, claims our country.
Wait a minute. I wanted to comment.
Leadership. Torian Small reports now from Washington, where hundreds of thousands gathered.
From Times Square to LA, millions turned out for the No Kings Day of protests, pushing back against what they call abuse of power by President Trump.
This is what democracy looks like. We don't like what's happening under the current government.
Demonstrators called out Trump's policies, including his crackdown on immigration, domestic use of the military, and environmental rollbacks. In D.C., 22-year-old Eva Menagio said she felt the day was about unity, not hate.
Everything here is so beyond positive. Like, right over there, there's a dance party going on. I don't know how anyone could say this is a hate America rally.
But many Republicans called it exactly that, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, who described the protests as anti-American. But not everyone at the rally supported the theme.
Well, I basically like the direction that we're going under the Trump administration. I want to hear everybody's voice. That's why I know what's real.
The president trolled demonstrators with social media posts, including this AI video of himself flying a fighter jet and dropping brown sludge on protesters. He spoke with reporters last night.
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. I'm not a king. I work my ass off to make our country great.
CBS Morning's Torian Small in Washington, D.C.
Okay. We are out of time.
We begin with this.
This will be our roundtable. I'll start with you, Stephen, because you wanted to say something, then Keith, then Aguna. Stephen?
I was going to say that Israel has free health care, free college, free housing, free everything for their citizens. You know why? Because they have us by the short hairs, and we give them trillions of dollars. And because our politicians are compromised because of Israel, and that's what's going on. All of them. That's what Epstein's files. Everything about it. Everything that's going on. Our country is compromised. That's why I said we need to take over our country, because our country has been taken over. And yes, okay,
that's your opinion.
That's not my opinion. This is the facts that I'm telling you. These are the facts. That we give so much money to Israel,
okay,
because our Congress, our Senate, our President, everybody is compromised by Israel. And that's what happens. That's what happened to Charlie Kirk, because he started speaking out about Israel. And what Israel's doing is wrong. What Israel's been doing is wrong. So we don't ever talk about anything that matters. We don't talk about anything that matters. Everybody's compromised in this country right now. And we're going along with it. And we're letting them divide us with stupid crap on both sides, Stacey. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, thank you.
Our country, we are paying through our taxes, through our noses.
You're about to pay $230 million to the president, and I'm sure you could use that money.
Yes, Stacey.
That's peanuts compared to trillions.
Stacey's going to have a field day with that, Stephen. You're not going to change your mind on that.
I'm not trying to change her mind. She's not there yet.
let's see. What did you want me to say on the round table?
Whatever you want to comment on.
Tell her why Charlie Kirk got killed.
I want you to focus on the No Kings
It wasn't
rally.
From a little bull.
Focus on the No Kings rally. You can focus on the president getting $230 million of your taxpayer money.
Okay. Well, let me just say that a king, I think people have forgotten what a king is all about. A king would order these people that are protesting probably be off with their heads. I mean, if he really, he disagrees with them and they hate him so much, he would definitely get his enemies and put them in prison. I mean, he's trying to do it, I guess, through the legal process, at least. The king doesn't go through the legal process. He just orders it, cut off their head. So I don't see what they mean by no kings. Trump will also, I mean, if he were a king, he certainly would not be allowing all the protests that are happening against him and against his policy.
Right.
If he were king, if he were a king, he'd open up the government despite Congress. So if he were a king, that's the way a king would behave.
Okay, thank you. Aguna.
Yeah, it's funny that Keith would even say all those things, because we know it's a slippery slope. And even if you're being a constitutionalist, you understand that in a democracy, or even a representative democracy or a republic, which is what we are, you know, there is a slippery slope. It doesn't happen overnight. There are little things that it's a slow drip. And all of a sudden, you know, there's this, you find yourself in a situation where through some emergency that executive powers are being executed, right? So these are American citizens, and we protest in this country, whether you're on the right or the left. You have the right to protest peacefully, hopefully. But the fact that you need to acknowledge, I mean, again, almost half the country did not vote for Donald Trump, but he's still the president of those people. So if to dismiss and to demean, it's kind of a thumb in the face of democracy if you think about it. And so I didn't like him doing that whole King trolling thing, because again, that just gives the protesters justification, because it's like, okay, you're going to lean into that. But at the end of the day, Keith does have a point in which, you know, there are monarchies in which, you know, if you're in the Emirates, they just decide this is a holiday. There's no Congress or anything like that to go through. But at the same time, these executive actions, these executive orders, they need to be looked at very closely, because it shows that our government is broken. I mean, we have Congress for a reason. That there should be limited executive powers in order to force Congress at a minimum to do their job. And the thing that's happening right now, this goes back to Stephen's point about by the people, if Congress isn't doing their job, yeah, you do have a point in which, you know, the government is not working for us. But where there's no accountability. And so I would like to see Trump be a little bit more open to negotiating, just to show, because at the end of the day, he's poised based on who he is and his personality and his command of the media and the command of both the Republican Party and just the command of the office to be one of the greatest presidents in the history of the country, if he uses it and focuses on the right things. And I do agree with Stephen a little bit about the Israel part, that there are things that we can do in this country that we shouldn't be investing overseas. We should be investing in infrastructure. He's a developer. I mean, that's why going back to this rare earth mineral deal, which no one's talking about right now, in which China is kicking our behinds right now because they have all the minerals to make all the semiconductors and all the chips. And because we're automating now, it is a good opportunity for us to start building infrastructure in this country through automation. You know, we don't have to worry about the labor laws and all that stuff that's been preventing us in the past, to bring all these things back to the U.S. And so we need to be focusing on that. And I think there are rumblings in the administration doing that. If you really watch who's around Trump and some of the deals that he's making, some of the people that are positioning themselves, there is a good opportunity, if we move past all this little bickering stuff, to really build this country back better. And he's a developer, so he could do these things, right? He can build back infrastructure. He can actually have rare earth deals. If the Ukraine wants us to fund their war, okay, give us the minerals. We'll fund everything, and then we'll come back here and we'll build our country up. So that's the kind of things that's happening. I don't like wars either, but if it's going to be a deal to be made, that's where Trump is. He's becoming very transactional, but he shouldn't do that in compromising democracy. We still are a democracy, right? So don't poo-poo on the protesters. Focus on the positive things that you're doing so that we can really bring people together, because it is a good opportunity. It's probably right. The best time in the history right. of our country that every American should own their own business. You know, there are the laws and the things that were in the beautiful bill that people aren't talking about. It really incentivizes not only home ownership, but opening your own businesses and really leveraging the tax laws to really keep more money in your pocket. But we're not talking about that because we're too busy focusing on these other little silly things. So I say all that to say, yes, people aren't going to like Trump. You know, people didn't like Biden. People didn't like Obama. People don't like president. It's just, you know, because most of the time, half the country didn't vote for him. So just say, hey, look, if you're going to do a No Kings protest, look at the X, Y, and Z that I'm doing. And if you're protesting against that, then that's making the case of being not American, not the fact that they're protesting to begin with. Right. That is American. Right.
It was a peaceful protest. It was a peaceful protest. And then he's going to crap all over everybody that's having a peaceful protest.
All right. When he had the protest. Thank you. To our first responders in our communities, you make our lives livable. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the women and men of the U.S. military for all that you do and sacrificing your lives so that we are free to say whatever we choose on the show. We are forever indebted. On behalf of Aguna, the voice of reason, Stephen,
the Blue Santa Claus, the Smurf,
and Keith, I don't know where he went, the constitutional conservative.
He's finding some immigrants to pay for health care.
I'm Stacey Johnson. Let's keep this conversation going on Facebook, X. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out at Spoilertix.com on TikTok. Check us out at Spoilertix on Instagram and Twitch. And also check us out on Stephanie Stallworth's The Flow Television Network. We'll see you next week. Good night. All right, now you can talk.
All right.
Well, yeah, they expand. It's true. They do expand the healthcare to illegals. But yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, how do they do that, Keith? Do they pay for it?
It just happens. And if Keith, if we had free health care for everybody in this country, would we worry about any the illegals getting free health care? We wouldn't, because everybody would get an equal shot. Maybe that would be cool. It's some kind of way you can work it out. But 300 million people is hard. You know, it's really hard. But I want to get y'all's opinion about this. What we're doing right now is like in Venezuela, we've blown up about seven or eight boats that we said were drug boats. We had CIA going into Venezuela now. Are y'all cool with that? Because I'm really not, because it's murder. It used to be when you have a drug boat suspected, you'd have another boat, our boat, stop that boat, inspect it. If it had drugs, we took the drugs off and took the guys and put them in prison or whatever. But we're blowing this stuff up. Are we convinced in our minds that it's okay to murder people? That's murder. Murder's always wrong. Keith, you're a conservative. You're not pro-abortion. But murder is abortion, and murder of those people in those boats are wrong. And they were sending the CIA to Venezuela.
Let me ask you, that's what we did to Vietnam.
We started the Vietnam War with CIA people.
Well, here's the thing. Now, there is an argument to be made. Now, if in fact there are drugs on this boat, which we don't know.
We don't know
what is going on. We don't know if these are like, we don't know if these are government officials in Venezuela that we're trying to do some type of, we don't know, because this is the CIA we're talking about. So again, whatever confidence you have in that. But the argument is if these drugs get into the country, then they'll kill a lot of Americans by using them.
So would you rather blow up a drug boat? Why don't we stop them? Let's stop the boats. Stop the boat. Why can't they stop? We don't have the capability of stopping
rules
that
of engagement.
And getting aboard and checking it out.
There's no longer a Miami Vice. You don't have Crockett and Tubbs jumping on these boats. There's no longer Miami Vice, right?
No, they have.
They have reputable intel that these are drug boats.
It doesn't matter that they know they're drug boats.
If, in fact, these are drug boats, if we go in there and we get on them and we confiscate and go through all the red tape, the president is saying, I'm not doing all that.
Why? All right,
I'm going to send a message. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to blow him up. But they keep coming. He says we are at war. He says we're at war with the cartels.
You didn't know if drugs were on the boat. There could be babies on the boat. You don't know who's on the boat. And he's going to blow it up. And you can make it right with yourself. You can make it right in your head.
You ain't right. You voted for him. You put faith and confidence in his decision making.
I didn't vote for this shooting at him.
This is just the beginning.
He could shoot somebody in New York and still have all of us behind him. No, not me, brother.
Stephen,
but you're the same person that said he was a victim. He could go after anybody he wants. He's a law and order guy.
That's murder. You can kill somebody, but Steven, you can never murder nobody. That's Steven. Murder.
Steven. Well, aren't they murdering American citizens by bringing drugs in the country?
No, we don't know if there's drugs in the country. There might be presents for little kids. We don't know what the hell's on them boats because they blow them up.
Steven. Well, hey.
You Steven. Can't make you that right in it. Your head.
You voted
if you are,
for
you're
this.
You're demented.
No, Steven. You voted for this.
I did not vote for that, man.
He said he was going to do this.
Trump said he was going to.
Nobody's ever done this before in public. Of course the CIA does awful shit in private, but nobody does it in public. Donald Trump is saying, I'm going to do whatever I want.
He said he was going to do this. He said, not on my watch. He said he was. He said that the fentanyl issue was one of his top priorities to stop. And that's what he's doing. And now you're complaining about how he's doing it.
He said by any means necessary. He can stop it without blowing it up. He can stop the boat. And get the people off and see if they have drugs on the boat. You supposed to say you don't know if that's you can't make it right. You cannot spin this to make it right.
I'm not trying to spin it. I'm just telling you. He said by any means, but do you trust him? Drugs
kill people. We have to stop it. You know our government is responsible for getting the most drugs in this country. Do you don't remember the 80s? They were running drugs in this country.
I know.
So why all of a sudden we're going to blow people up out of the water? That ain't right. That's not America. That's not the United States.
It's right.
And I do not condone that. I condemn it.
I do.
How do you condone it?
Because they are. You're
for murder? You believe in Jesus Christ? And you believe murder is good?
Yes.
Well, I'll be damned. I'll be damned, Keith. I'll be damned.
I believe in justifiable homicide.
No, well, you don't. You believe in murder.
Justifiable homicide.
You don't know what's on that boat. Aguna said he don't know what's on that boat. You don't know what's on that boat. You think it's cool?
You think it's cool that they're getting
murdered?
And you don't know whether they're shooting at him, Stephen.
Huh? Nobody's shooting at anybody. What did you say?
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Oh my God. So you're going to make up that they were shooting at them. That's why seven or eight boats got blown up.
You don't know.
Come on, Keith. Hey, anybody on this show, anybody, y'all too, have y'all heard about these boats shooting at the Americans? No!
You probably won't hear about that either.
Keith, are you going to shoot at a USS Destroyer? Gunboat? These are like cigarette drug boats.
Yes, I know.
There is no way you're going to take on an American battleship or destroyer from a little. It's just not. I don't think you would ever do that.
No.
The question is, Stephen brings up a good point. I get it. There should be some due process here.
Yes.
But that's not what we signed up for.
No, we didn't sign up for this. Donald Trump did not say I was going to blow friggin' boats out of the water.
He's a law and order president. You're not bringing drugs into this country on his watch.
That's not law and order. Trump said not on my watch. Come on, man.
In international order.
I'm gonna be Joe Biden right now. Come on, man. Murder.
But this is why he has a mandate. He got a mandate.
He does not have a mandate to murder people. He cannot go outside of New York and shoot somebody standing there and get away with it. And have me support him. He cannot do that.
This is the same president he's setting when he sends the National Guard into D.C. to pick up trash. He's saying he's going to clean up this country. He's going to stop the drugs. He's going to put tariffs in.
Did they kill anybody in D.C.? Did they kill anybody when they went in there and tried to clean things up? No. If the National Guard went in there and shot people like they did in the 60s, I'd be pissed.
Nobody engaged them.
Did not engage us. You cannot.
They had drugs on it. They had proper intel, according to the CIA.
My whole point is,
he said not on his watch.
The CIA kills everybody, man. They're not good people. We need to tear the CIA down, and that's what JFK said. And that's why they killed him. That's why the CIA killed him.
America. So you voted for two things. You voted for America first and law and order. America first means no drugs in this country.
You're pulling my leg. You don't believe a single word you say.
Stop playing with me. No, I'm telling you.
This is no more. Don't play with me.
Steven, why are you complaining about the rules of engagement? Did you hear what the Defense of War said? Did you hear what the Secretary of War said?
The Secretary of War don't make no sense. It's the Secretary of Defense. I don't agree with that.
He said not on his watch. He said we're peace through strength. And he said you're not going to come into our country. Peace through strength means
you don't do something. You don't do something that's not ethical. You don't do something that goes against God. You don't do that. Well, if you do that,
if we blow up 10 drug boats, you think we're going to keep coming? If we blow up a bunch of drug boats,
They're terrorizing those people.
But you don't want illegal immigrants. You turn illegal immigrants away at the border. We're going to turn these drug boats around.
I don't want any illegal immigrants. I don't want anybody to get killed. I don't want illegal immigrants to get killed. I want people to be treated fairly. And these people are not being treated fairly.
Really?
They're going to say they have drugs on the boat. We don't even know it.
Waiting on their court date. They're getting sent back. They're coming here. They're giving themselves up, but they're getting deported. Is that being treated fairly?
See you next week. Good night. Thank you.
Good night, Stacey. Have a beautiful day. Hey.
All right. You take care.